Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I am your boy Cam Silver.
I am your boy Kyle Silver.
And welcome back to the Silver Boys Podcast. Man, Kyle, we had ourselves a pretty good weekend last weekend. Gonna have ourselves a great weekend this weekend. But before we get into the Final Four and everything like that, I want to go to the NFL real quick.
Yes, sir.
Breaking news happened, what was that? I want to say Monday morning, I think it was, or Tuesday morning.
It might have been like Tuesday
morning. Tuesday, something like that. Yeah. Where Lamar Jackson had put out a tweet pretty much thanking his fans for all the love and support that they've given him over the years that he's been in Baltimore since he's got there. And he dropped a bomb saying that he requested a trade all the way back on March 2nd.
That's a bomb. And he tried to just throw that in there like it was nothing.
Yeah, because it was like a three-part tweet with a thread or two. And, yeah, he just pretty much just dropped it in there as if it was like nothing almost.
Because when did they put him on the franchise tag? They had to put him on that.
I think it was in February when they were
That was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago.
So now my question is if he asked y'all for a trade, the Baltimore Ravens, on March 2nd, and then y'all franchise tagged him just 2 weeks ago now, that this timeline is iffy, man.
Yeah,
because it's like, why is it that we're just hearing about this, and then why is it that also, too, there's no market available for Lamar Jackson.
Right.
A MVP.
Unanimous MVP.
Unanimous MVP who has a winning record. It's not like he's a bum and like he can't do anything.
Right.
And he's only ever had one Pro Bowl, teammate.
Right.
And that was Mark Andrews. That was the only person who has a solid reputation in the NFL on that team. And you don't get him no help, though. He asks you for a trade. You don't honor it. At least try to see what the market value is for him.
Right.
Which I can understand. And then you place the franchise tag on him, which you make teams have to give you those two first-round picks.
Right.
And they can match it. You put Lamar at a huge disservice, in my opinion. A huge disservice.
Yeah, I don't like the way that it's playing out for me personally because over the years, he's been asking for help. It's not even just him asking for help. It's everybody else. Like, all the fans are, like, sitting there.
Even some of the players.
Even the players are sitting there. They're like,
the players are going out against the management and against ownership and the general manager. When does that happen like that?
Rarely.
In the NFL?
Yeah, no. That's, like, a no-no to do.
And it was multiple players over multiple weeks. That's my problem. And they're all standing for Lamar. So what's going on down in Baltimore where this is going on?
They need to figure that thing out. I feel like he put that tweet out and said that he requested a trade because I think now it's putting pressure on them where it's like, all right, well, you know, the ball is in your court.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I could stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they necessarily don't have to sit there and put up a 5-year, you know, 200 and something mil guaranteed contract like Cleveland did with Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun, like, fully guaranteed, yeah.
Yeah, which was dumb, but okay.
That is the only outlier, though.
But he has a point to the reason why he wants all that money because Deshaun Watson hasn't played in 2 years.
In 2 years, and he still got all that money.
If I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm sitting there, well, yeah, I'm a unanimous MVP. I'm one of the most exciting talents in not just football, but in all of sports right now. So somebody's got to pay me something at some point.
I agree. I completely agree. It's either you pay the man or you trade him.
You trade him, yeah.
You don't do this funny wishy-washy business.
And then now all the other franchises are like, "Oh yeah, we're not going to trade for him. We're not going to pay him fully." I'm like,
"Is that you think that's partly because of this like I would say that this is kind of like a quarterback heavy draft?"
Yeah, it is.
So, you think that's partly because of that? Do you think that's partly cuz they don't believe in Lamar? What do you think it is?
I don't know. That's the biggest thing because some of them are like, "Oh yeah, we're worried about him getting hurt." When in reality, the only time he really got hurt was when he was in the pocket. Every time he rolls out.
Thank you for saying that.
Every time he gets out of the pocket, he's fine. Yes. He knows how to elude from pressure. Yes. He knows how to get out of the defender's way.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. I agree, though. Absolutely. Because it's not like in the open field, he's getting hurt.
He's getting hurt, exactly.
It's when he needs to be protected, exactly. He's getting hurt.
Correct.
What is that? So that doesn't say anything about Lamar. That says something about your pass protection and your offensive line.
Correct.
Protect them more.
Yeah, you got to
hold that line. Hold that front line so that nobody gets through.
I don't know, man.
I also want to ask you another question real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he's tweeting too much?
Yeah, I do.
I think he is too.
So after he put out the tweet to the fans, you know, saying, you know, he wanted a trade request and all that, I think that's when he should have stopped.
Yes.
When he started bringing up, oh, yeah, I didn't play on 100% PCL. I'm like, all right, like, we've discussed this before. Mm-hmm. We discussed this back when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Don't keep bringing up the PCL because then it alludes to me that there was something.
Something a little bit bigger about it. Yes. And this is why the teams are. Have some reservations about
right,
you.
Right. Now people are gonna start, you know,
and it,
looking at you differently. Like,
and it's when the injuries happen, I think, as well.
Right, because it happens at the end of the season.
The last two years, it was the last five games.
Right.
Those are important games that you need to be in.
Correct.
I can understand where some of these teams are coming from, like I genuinely can, but I'm taking that risk on him.
I would. You would have to. You have to. Like, there's a few teams out there that I would do it already. If I was the Patriots, I would do it.
Patriots?
If I was the Colts, I would do it. I would trade that
Houston.
I would trade that fourth pick. Houston, you could possibly do it.
Atlanta
should do it for sure. If they really want to recreate how they used to be.
Atlanta most definitely should be. I think Atlanta or Carolina.
I can see Carolina doing it. But I think Houston and Carolina are very high on Bryce and CJ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they like what they see over there. So
even Anthony Richardson, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson too. I think his pro days today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a big physical traits. He doesn't have a lot of starts under him. Not a great arm, not good accuracy, but you know, you never know. Set him a year or two and let him rock, and then next thing you know, he'll be ready.
I'm taking Lamar over all of those quarterbacks though.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So for that to not happen and other teams not see it or not want to see it and not want to give him the chance.
Right.
It's a little iffy to me.
Yeah, I feel
iffy
you.
Situation.
I'm the same way, but we'll talk more about the NFL in the upcoming weeks. But for right now, this weekend is the Final Four, and Kyle, for the first time ever, we don't have a 1, 2, or 3 seed in the Final Four.
That's insane. That is insane.
Is that a week? Did they mess up the seeds, or were the teams just weak up top? I don't know. Because there are a lot of teams out there, in my opinion, that have arguments to be higher than what they were seeded.
Absolutely.
UConn could have been higher. FAU, in my opinion, could have been higher. Why were they only a nine seed? They won
FAU,
the most games out of everybody.
FAU should have at least been a top 5 seed.
Easily.
To win the most games out of any team coming into the conference as a whole, and you're a 9 seed. That's where you. But then you remember how we were talking about the quad wins like that. I could see how that's starting to play a factor now, though. Like, you know, and how it's going to play a factor later on.
Right, and it's not only that though. There's also this other website called KenPom.com. So it's KenPom. So KenPom.com, and they give out like. Adjusted offense, adjusted defense, you know, strength of schedule, opponent strength of schedule, and things of that nature. So it's stuff like that. Like, if you want to take a deeper dive into it, I think you're going to have to, like, have a subscription and pay for it. But that also does fit into it because, like I said, the adjusted defenses and adjusted offenses and, you know, the efficiency rates and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency.
Correct.
Yeah, things like that, yeah.
But I like the matchups that we have, honestly. Miami's there for the first time ever in school history. They got this guy, Jordan Miller, who was perfect from the field and perfect from the line. He was 7-for-7 from the field, 13-for-13 from the free throw line. He had 27 points against Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Texas was leading most of that game.
Texas was leading most of that game. You're absolutely right.
And Miami, I felt like Miami never let the game get too out of control.
They never let it get too out of their reach.
Right.
Yes, yes. What you said was right, yes.
Right.
They never let it get too much out of their reach. They were always able to close in on Texas.
Right.
And then close out against Texas.
Right, yeah.
Which was huge. That was a huge game for Miami.
And I always think about what my pops would always tell me and my teammates back when we were playing ball, and that the game of basketball is a game of runs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes it's whoever gets that last run, and Miami
got that last run. Mm-hmm.
And they have a dominant opponent. I'm not even going, there's no way to really,
there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
There's no UConn, way to go around it. UConn is dominant.
Is the favorite in the tournament right now.
And it's not even close.
Not even close. To absolutely mollywop Gonzaga like that.
That was scary.
How do you go from being up 7 at halftime to almost winning the game by 30? 30.
By the time? Well, so for those who didn't get a chance to watch the game Saturday night, UConn, like you said, UConn was up by 7 at halftime. Drew Timmy, Gonzaga's leading dog, gets his fourth foul with 17 minutes left in the game. They're only up by 10 at that point. Next thing you know, we get to the first media timeout, which is after 16 minutes. Mm-hmm. How in the world did UConn already go up by like 15 by that point? I was sitting there. I was shocked because I was like, "There's just no way." Their transition offense is crazy.
Transition offense is crazy.
Their big men run up and down. Their big men can either be rim runners or they can set up on you in the paint. Their guards can all shoot, almost all of them, except for Jackson. Jackson is the only one that can't shoot, but he's a slasher, and he can get to the basket at will if he really wants to.
If he needs to.
Jordan Hawkins can shoot from anywhere and shoot almost anything. He can shoot on a move if he wants to. They just don't have a traditional point guard who could set up their team, but that's the reason why their transition offense is so good. Because they could do
because they have the players to be able to run up and down.
Correct.
Instead of having the facilitator.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Miami's gonna have their hands full with that one, and Miami is not the strongest team defensively. I'll put it to you like that. So
they're gonna have to outscore UConn.
Yeah.
That's what it's gonna come down to,
and that's gonna be hard to do.
It's really hard. That's gonna be real hard to do.
That's a tough.
Think about it.
Ask.
Like, Gonzaga is like has always been a top team
every year,
and they held them to what 50. 50 something points?
Yeah, 50 something. I think it was like
56 or 58, yeah. One of those two.
Or it could have been 60, but either way, they held them way below what they average.
They're outscoring their opponents like, I think combined like like 90 points, Cam.
Yeah.
90 points.
Yeah.
That's
scary.
That's a what's the word? That is a uneven We're looking at an uneven team here,
yeah,
man.
This is cheating almost at this point. It's a no-go. Their big man down low is averaging 9.8 rebounds on 60% shooting in the tournament. That's insane.
We get two halves, and the man is almost averaging.
The team is 19-0 when he scores 20-plus points, by the way, too. So they
take that how you want it.
Exactly. Let's move on to FAU and San Diego State University. FAU is someone that I feel like no one could have seen coming.
Mm-mm.
At all.
Mm-mm.
because of the path that was chosen for them. But they show that they're one of the toughest teams in the land. They go 9 deep.
9.
15.
Deep.
Those 9 guys, they all play 15 minutes or more. So they're fresh, and that's something that San Diego State can combat with, but the only thing I say, and it's weird because it's a good contrast with these two teams. San Diego State is very good defensively.
FAU is good offensively.
Correct.
So that's going to be real interesting of matchup,
right,
of offense versus defense, truly.
Right.
Like a true offensive versus defensive matchup.
Yeah, because San Diego State is number 4 in adjusted defense since the Mountain West tournament. They've held their opponents to just 56.6 points per game. They've held Alabama was averaging 81.8 points per game. They held them to 64. They held Creighton to 56 points in their Elite Eight game. They were averaging 76.4.
Their defense is absolutely superb. You can't deny that defense truly does win you championships.
Oh, yeah.
and win you games because they play physical. And then another stat too, SDSU has held Creighton and Alabama. That is what? That's 80 minutes plus of playing time.
Correct.
They held both of those teams to 5 of 44 from 3.
Yeah, and they held everybody. And they only, I think, what was it? Bama and Creighton together only made, what, 5? I think it was 5 threes or 7. Or it was like 5 or 7 threes, if I'm not mistaken. 5
or 44 5 from 3. 5 or
44 from 3.
Both teams. Alabama, heavy shooting 3-point team. Like probably the heaviest 3-point shooting team.
Oh, in the field, for sure.
In the whole tournament.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And you held them to that, and even Creighton too.
17% 3-point defense for the whole tournament. Everybody concludes in Furman.
Think about how the game is structured nowadays. How the 3-point shot is so heavy and so crucial to everybody. You hold teams, you're gonna win games.
And the thing about FAU shoots at a high clip. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they've gone down from the season average. They were scoring from 36.5% from three. Now it's down to 31.2.
That's a big drop off. That is. But I don't know, though. They still got 4 shooters on that team.
Oh,
like,
yeah. They still have 4
out of 5 like on the starting lineup.
Yeah. And then you also have a dominant big man down low and Golden, who had 14 points and 13 rebounds in the Elite Eight game against Kansas State. He's a transfer from Texas Tech. So he's not no stranger to the big-time teams,
not at
you know?
All. Not at all.
And then you also have Janelle Davis, who was averaging 13.9 points per game. In the tournament, he's averaging 17. So they have dogs on that team. FAU might be a team that everyone is kind of, you know, looking past. I wouldn't look past them.
I don't think you can.
I wouldn't look past them.
I don't think you can. Because they're going to give the Aztecs a fight.
Oh, yeah. Most because definitely. The Aztecs, their weakness is shot making. Mm-hmm. If the Aztecs can't make shots and if they can't control the boards and they let Golden control the boards down low for FAU.
They're in for a long night.
Exactly. It's going to be FAU's night and we're going to see FAU in the championship against either UConn or Miami. That right there, that's a coin flip if you want it.
It really is.
Because I wouldn't sit there, as dominant as UConn has been, I wouldn't just sit there and just give it to UConn. Miami has showed we can weather the storm, too. Mm-hmm. And also the way that they dominated Houston, too. A number one team getting dominated like that.
Like, that's insane. You don't see that happening.
Never.
You don't see that happening.
That's rare. But before we get out of here, I want to talk about the Wild Wild West of the NBA real quick. The Kings clinched the playoffs for the first time in 16 years. That's amazing.
Like that beam. Yes, sir.
I'm on that wave right now.
You're right. Like,
I'm on that wave right
now.
I can't lie. It got me hyped.
Me too.
I have Mike Brown as coach of the year. You know, I see you feel the same way.
Yes, I do.
You know, the expectations that came with it, De'Aaron Fox has promised, you know, to get this team to the playoffs, and he's doing it. So proud of him doing that.
The only thing is, I'm just afraid who they're gonna face in that sixth seed if they keep that third seed. You know,
because that what is it? That four through eleven.
It's four through 11. Anybody can make that top six. Really,
that's scary. Kyrie and Dallas Mavericks not looking too good. He said that he did not expect to fight for a play-in tournament. Bro, you shouldn't have left. That's all I can say on that one.
You were fourth at Brooklyn. Wouldn't have been fighting like this.
Should not have left. You should have just stayed.
You wouldn't have been fighting like this, my boy.
And then left in the offseason if you really wanted to.
You could have just, come on.
Oh my goodness! And now they're 37-40 and they're in the 11th spot.
I'm going to be honest, Cam. I don't see them making it.
I don't either.
I don't see them making it.
OKC is playing better.
OKC are some dolls.
Shea is going to make sure that they keep going. Bron and the boys are back in town. So Bron is feeling himself. AD was looking good against Chicago the other night.
Even before Bron was back.
Oh, yeah, even before, they were still going crazy.
Austin Reeves, wild.
D'Lo,
crazy. You know they're the best defensive team since the trade deadline? That's crazy to me.
I love it.
That turn up in that little short of a span. That's what we want to see from certain teams, and we weren't expecting that from the Lakers.
And KD comes back from injury. know, if he's healthy, then might have to chalk that one up to the Suns. I can't even lie to you. So, but I'm excited to see where this is going to go. I'm excited for this weekend for the Final Four. I'm also excited because me and you are going to Dreamfield Fest this weekend.
Yes, sir.
So.
Yes, sir. We're in for a nice little treat.
It's gonna be an awesome weekend. I hope you guys have an awesome weekend as well. Enjoy all the games. Enjoy all the craziness going on in sports. Hopefully, we get more updates on Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers, and hopefully, Aaron Rodgers becomes a Jet.
Yeah,
and gives me a reason to go to a Jet game. Gives us a reason to go to a Jet game.
Absolutely, I'd love a reason to go to a Jets game. Go see my boys Sauce and Aaron Rodgers. Yes,
You already know.
Yes, sir.
But we will be talking to you guys next week about more of the NBA and the NFL. We'll also wrap up everything going on with college basketball, and we'll see what's going on with college football. Once again, I am your host, Cam Silver.
I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And thank you guys for tuning in to the Silver Boys. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you.